Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to this podcast ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app today.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/wondery.
Hiring is challenging, especially when you're a business owner with a lot on your plate. Thankfully, there's a place you can go for help. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter does the work for you to make hiring fast and easy. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Experience faster, easier hiring with ZipRecruiter. Try it free at ziprecruiter.com/zipdaily. That's ziprecruiter.com/zipdaily.
Good morning. Jane Pauley is off today. I'm Tracy Smith, and this is Sunday Morning. And never mind those Paris Olympics, we're taking you to the Big Island of Hawaii for a championship like none other. It's the decades-old Polynesian spectacle known as the Merry Monarch Festival, a hula competition. And as Lee Cowan is about to make abundantly clear, it's anything but the same old song and dance.
For centuries, it existed as a language all its own. But hula was nearly lost to history.
When you're dancing, do you feel your ancestors with you?
All the time.
But there is a place where Hawaii's best-known tradition celebrates both the past and the future.
I like to say hula is the hardest sport there is.
The majesty and mystery of a very merry monarch. We'll explain later on Sunday Morning.
The Duke and Duchess of Sussex, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, have been here in the United States for about 4 years now. And though their lineage is very much of another time, one of their biggest concerns is all about the here and now, as Jane Pauley discovered.
Today, a different kind of encounter with Harry and Meghan. The spotlight not so much on them, but on parents dealing with the damage from social media.
We've got to the stage where almost every parent needs to be a first responder. And even the best first responders in the world wouldn't be able to tell the signs of possible suicide.
I'm so happy you're here. Thank you.
Ahead this Sunday morning, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex.
Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is American old guard, and she's been in the news quite a lot over the past few weeks. Some saying she played a pivotal role in the campaign to convince President Joe Biden to step aside and give up his run for the White House in favor of Vice President Kamala Harris. Needless to say, Leslie Stahl had plenty of questions for her when they sat down in Washington a few days ago.
We didn't know if he would survive or how he would survive.
For Nancy Pelosi, the wounds from the attack on her husband may never heal.
He was looking for me. Imagine the guilt of all of that. It's just a horrible thing.
A candid talk with the most powerful speaker ever.
God bless our great country.
Did Donald Trump make a mistake when he chose J.D. Vance?
Oh, I think it was a great choice.
Nancy Pelosi, later on Sunday Morning.
Later this week, we mark an anniversary in the history of the presidency. It was on August 9, 1974, 50 years ago, that President Richard Nixon resigned from office, the only president to ever do so. We'll look back with John Dickerson. After which, it's back to the present. Kelifasane takes note of the music from the man they call Jelly Roll.
Plus, the latest on the return of those Americans freed by Russia, and more.
It's the first Sunday morning of a new month, August 4th, 2024, and we'll be back in a moment.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few weeks more. Head to netsuite.com/funny. netsuite.com/funny. Finding great candidates to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You get too many resumes and not enough qualified candidates, but not with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds amazing candidates for you fast. ZipRecruiter's technology starts showing you qualified people for your job immediately. Ditch the other hiring sites and let ZipRecruiter help you find the needle in the haystack. Try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/ZipDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ZipDaily.
It's not in Paris. It's in paradise, and it's truly a one-of-a-kind competition. With Lee Cowan, we head off to Hawaii to take in the Olympics of Hula.
It was one of those predictably perfect sunsets on the big island of Hawaii, where along with the swaying palms, came the swaying hips of hula. Guests here at the Waikoloa Beach Marriott were treated to it all. The performance, the pork, and the poi. And yet the tourist experience of this Polynesian spectacle can't really begin to capture the deep meaning behind each of those ancient movements. At its core, hula is about story. Long before written language, hula's chants were the living archives of a people's history and traditions.
It's storytelling, it's mo'olelo, which is storytelling in Hawaiian. And it's a way for us to express all these stories from ancient times through moving our hips, moving our feet, through hand motions.
Kiki Kamale Kaluheamoto was born in Hilo, on the windward side of the Big Island. Her twin passions, surfing and hula, were both born in Hawaii.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Kiamti Kamaile Kaluhea Mota.
But this past year, Kiki put surfing aside to set her sights on a high-stakes competition that some call the Olympics of hula.
Are you excited or nervous?
Now I'm more excited than I'm nervous. Yeah. I think a month ago, if you asked me that, I would have said I was more nervous than excited.
This is the Merry Monarch Festival, every spring for the past 61 years. Two dozen or more of the best hula schools from all around the world come here to Hilo to compete in two categories. There's traditional hula, and modern hula. The whole town comes alive for the week-long celebration. There's a grand parade, there's Hawaiian crafts and Hawaiian food. But make no mistake, the Merry Monarch is less about a party and more about honoring hula with the dignity and reverence it has so long been denied. Hula, baby, hula has certainly been through a lot. cultural appropriation in movies and tacky dashboard decor were only the most recent indignities.
When people would ask me, what do you do? I wouldn't say I was a hula teacher, because 9 times out of 10, the response would be, oh, you do the hula? Do you wear a grass skirt? Over and over. But I would say within the last decade or so, there's been a shift.
Patrick Makuakane grew up in Hawaii. He competed in the Merry Monarch himself, in fact, back in the day. He says interest in Hawaiian traditions is growing. He now teaches it in his own hula, that's a hula school, in San Francisco. And for his decades-long effort to preserve Hawaiian culture, he was among the scientists and artists awarded the prestigious MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant last year.
Not bad. I know how important hula is to my life and to the community in which I built and how transformative it is. But how did they come to understand that?
Perhaps what they understood is that hula might have been lost to history altogether. For generations, Christian missionaries called it a pagan ritual and banned its performance in public. It was the last reigning king of the Hawaiian kingdom, King Kalakaua, who brought the tradition back. And that earned him the nickname, Merry Monarch. It's why he's so honored here. Gen Z Hawaiians, like 18-year-old Tahani Kekuavela, seem especially intent on living out their heritage.
As we act out those scenarios and stories of the past, we're also connecting to ancestors of Hawaii and of this place. I feel that power, that mana, through the dance.
That said, it's hardly easy.
It takes a lot of work to look effortlessly beautiful on stage.
Some of you guys look like you're half sleeping. Yeah, wake up. Welcome to practice.
That's Tahani and Kiki's hula teacher. Casey Kaleohano is a hula master, or kumahula, in Hawaii.
We don't care if you're tired. It cannot look like you're tired.
She's tough, like any mentor would be.
In hula, you are using all parts of your body. And sometimes it will go slow, and sometimes the beat will pick up and be quick. It is very physical.
It's a lot of up and down movement with my legs, so my legs, of course, are always sore.
Kiki is also competing solo for the title of Miss Aloha.
Being by myself up there and knowing that I have to use the whole stage, so even though it seems short, it's when you're dancing, it feels like forever.
The fact that we were able to witness any of this was pretty remarkable. Kumas are fiercely protective of their halau, especially when outsiders like us come calling.
I think there are parts of hula that are definitely very sacred, and there are certain things that we don't talk about and we don't share, because those are held for people who are practicing the tradition of hula.
It took a little bit of convincing, but we were finally permitted to see the real spirituality of hula. Like Kiki and Casey offering a silent prayer of gratitude before picking the tropical treasures that would adorn their heads and necks during the competition.
Are they hard to find?
Not on this island.
You'll find them.
The morning of the performance, that support and that care continued.
I know that we're going to keep going strong. No matter how old we get, no matter where we go, we'll always have hula to come back to.
Kiki and Tahani's halau did well, but not well enough to win. But that didn't seem to matter. What they had done was what has always been done on these islands, honoring a people and a place in ways that, thankfully today, now appear to be timeless.
Despite everything that's happened in our history, I think it's definitely a statement to show how distinct and just amazing Hawaiians are.
This episode is brought to you in part by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This back-to-school season, you can count on Whole Foods Market to do the ingredient homework for you. They ban over 300 food ingredients, like high-fructose corn syrup, hydrogenated fats, and more. That's comforting when getting ready for back-to-school. From snacks to the condiments, their standards are truly best in class. Speaking of, their best in class event is happening now, including an unmatched selection of allergy-friendly options without nuts or dairy. Start the school year off right at Whole Foods Market.
It's been a time of turmoil in Washington, a time that's also seen Representative Nancy Pelosi in what's become her customary position, front and center. The House Speaker Emerita has a new book out, The Art of Power, an art at which Nancy Pelosi is something of a master.
She's talking with Leslie Stahl of 60 Minutes about matters public and private.
My husband and I have never talked about this. The doctors have supported that because they don't want him to revisit it.
Because of the trauma of October 28, 2022, when a man broke into their house in San Francisco and hit Paul Pelosi, then 82, in the head at least 3 times with a hammer. Surgeons had to remove part of his skull to save his life.
You were the intended target.
Yes.
He was looking for you.
Yeah. He was looking for me. Imagine the guilt of all of that. It's just a horrible thing.
Pelosi describes the horror in her new book.
One of the most gripping moments in this chapter is when your daughter, a documentarian, Alexandra, says to you, you have to give it up, she said to you, yelling. The speakership, Congress, everything in your public life. So did she blame you or?
Well, I blame me. I mean, not blame me. I was the target. My family, frankly, blames the certain elements of the Republican Party who had been demonizing me for about 20 years, every election and the rest. Cloven feet, horns on the head, a horrible person, in flames, a devil, and all of that. The sad thing about my husband's assault was that they just made a joke of it.
And we'll stand up to crazy Nancy Pelosi who ruined San Francisco. How's her husband doing, by the way? Anybody know?
They thought it was funny, and people laughed. So he was an instigator of violence and then made light of it.
I've decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. That's the best way to unite our nation.
There have been reports that it was Nancy Pelosi who orchestrated a coordinated effort to squeeze President Biden to drop out.
Please tell us what you told President Biden to persuade him to step aside.
Well, I've never shared any conversations with the President of the United States publicly, no.
It's said that he's furious at you. Is he?
Well, he knows that I love him very much.
I understand that you don't want to own this, but it is so well reported that you were the leader of a pressure campaign.
No, I wasn't a leader of any pressure party. Well, let me say things that I didn't do. I didn't call one person. I did not call one person. I could always say to him, I never called anybody. What I'm saying is I had confidence that the president would make the proper choice for our country, whatever that would be. And I said that, whatever that is, we'll go with.
Had you seen a decline in Joe Biden? And did you think he needed to step aside?
No. My whole point was, whatever he decides, but we have to have a more aggressive campaign.
She mentioned his many accomplishments, including his forceful leadership of the NATO summit with other Western heads of state.
So he was in a good place to make whatever decision, top of his game. Such a consequential president of the United States, a Mount Rushmore kind of president of the United States. Want to know what comes next?
That he belongs up there on Mount Rushmore. Lincoln and Joe Biden.
But you got Teddy Roosevelt up there, and he's wonderful. I don't say take him down, but you can add Biden. We have big needs for our country.
If there were a Mount Rushmore for speakers of the House, Nancy Pelosi would certainly be up there, commemorating her 20 years as a commanding leader in Congress.
Palm the table.
Until she relinquished Democratic Party leadership a year ago. In The Art of Power, Pelosi, now 84, looks back at some of the battles she's most proud of.
This is not a memoir. There's certain episodes of our history that I played a major role in. So I wanted to write about that just to show my side of it, what happened in the room where it happened, where I was.
She wasn't just in the room. She was working the room, usually running it. As during the financial bailout, COVID relief, the Affordable Care Act.
We're coming for you, Nancy!
And the dark day of January 6th.
You, in the book, talk about hearing the crowd saying, Nancy, Nancy, we're coming for you, bitch, is what they said.
Yeah.
And you knew what was happening that day was directed at you.
And the vice president. It was an insurrection instigated by the president of the United States. He now tries to disassociate himself from it, blaming it on me and everybody else. But that's the way he is. This was instigated by him.
This is a quote out of your book.
Yeah.
Because Trump was saying he was going to march to the Capitol. You said, if he comes, I'm going to punch him out.
That's right.
For trespassing on the Capitol grounds, I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy.
I knew that I would have to pay a price to go to jail, but I would be happy to do that.
Pelosi is now turning her toughness to defeating Donald Trump.
He has been the best organizer and fundraiser for the Democrats because people know he should never set foot again in the White House, never should have, and shouldn't again.
Now, I pledge to every American, no matter your party, I will give you everything I have.
Did Donald Trump make a mistake when he chose J.D. Vance?
Oh, I think it was a great choice.
And are we ready to fight for it? And when we fight, we win!
So what is your bit of advice for Kamala Harris on how to run this campaign against Donald Trump? Does she instigate a fight? Does she bait him?
Let me just say this, and this is what I tell everybody all the time. Just be yourself. It's the same advice I give to women. Be yourself.
The opposition, the Trump people, and he, and J.D. Vance, are trying to portray Kamala Harris as being weird. She's a radical, left-wing, San Francisco, crazy lady. She's weird and she's nuts.
She's crazy. She's nuts. She's not as crazy as Nancy Pelosi, crazy Nancy.
Well, the thing is that there's no question that they understand I make people laugh at them, and that's what they don't like, is to be laughed at. On the other hand, what I have always said about Trump, and now I don't know that much about Vance, but what we do know is menacing.
She was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black.
So what should she say?
Just talk about kitchen table issues.
Ignore him.
Ignore him. Yeah.
Turn around and just look at it. It's so beautiful from this side. You never see this side.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
No longer part of the leadership in the House, Pelosi is still running for re-election for her seat from San Francisco.
Were you ever asked to run for president?
I haven't been asked, but I was encouraged to put my name in there sometime for vice president. I said, why would I want to be vice president? I'm a legislator. I love legislating. People have to understand it's a serious work. I mean, you really have, you have to listen. What is the judgment you bring as to what priorities can be, prevail? What is your strategy to get it done? It's constant. It's constant. And it's being respectful of all kinds of points of view. It's inside maneuvering, outside mobilization. It's great. I love being a legislator.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and their tushies do too. Huggies has more curves and outstanding active fit. Babies, no matter what kind of butt you've got, you'll feel comfy while your mushy little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Get your baby's butt into the best-fitting diaper. Huggies Little Movers. We got you, baby.
Now to Thursday's massive prisoner swap.
Months in the making. So long that back before his death in February, Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny figured into the elaborate scheme. It came to fruition late that night at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland. A rare happy ending, Seth Doan tells us, that few saw coming.
That emotional homecoming was the result of intricate secret negotiations, which the White House called a feat of diplomacy. Among the Americans who were unjustly imprisoned in Russia and returning home were Paul Whelan, the veteran U.S. Marine, and Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich, already advocating for other detainees.
Basically, everybody I sat with is a political prisoner, and nobody knows them publicly.
As many as seven wrongfully detained Americans were left behind, including teacher Mark Fogel, sentenced to 14 years for carrying medical marijuana. But the family of Alsu Kurmasheva, a reporter with Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, got to embrace her on U.S. soil.
It was important to celebrate the return of our fellow Americans, but also having been involved in these matters for as long as I have been, I know the serious side of this.
John Sullivan, a CBS News contributor, was once the U.S. ambassador to Russia.
Does this prisoner exchange give up something greater?
Absolutely. It just reinforces the value of the Russian government detaining wrongfully Americans in Russia to use for trades like this.
In all, 16 political prisoners were released from detention in Russia and Belarus in exchange for eight Russians held in five other countries.
He stepped up. They took a chance for us.
President Biden hailed the multinational cooperation. Germany may have made the biggest sacrifice, freeing Vadim Krasikov, a convicted assassin working for the Russian state. He was given a hero's welcome by the Russian president himself.
Putin can say, with some accuracy, we take care of our own. If I send you to Berlin to murder someone, I won't leave you stuck there. I'll get you home.
As diplomats worked in secret, it was often up to family members, colleagues, and friends to keep the names and stories of those being held very much in the public eye.
Paul Whelan's family pushed for his freedom for more than 5 years.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm home. Yeah. I'm never going back there again.
The Wall Street Journal kept Evan Gerskovich's story in the headlines.
She tries to stay positive.
And we traveled to Prague in January to find the outpouring of support to free Alsu Kurmasheva, led by her husband, Pavel Butorin.
I need to keep it together. I don't want emotion to get involved.
Early Thursday, they were among the families summoned to the White House for that surprise announcement.
We're anywhere in the Oval Office.
Yeah. Love you so much.
Bye. See you soon.
Kurmasheva and her fellow freed Americans are now decompressing at a San Antonio military hospital.
How do you stop someone like Putin from making a business out of this, capturing, throwing in jail Americans to get what he wants down the road?
Well, extremely difficult. My concern now is that other countries are going to see what the Russians have been able to do. So this is becoming not just a Russian problem, it's a global problem.
Okay, most Americans think they spend about $62 per month on subscriptions. But get this, the real number is closer to $300. That is literally thousands of dollars a year, half of which you've probably forgotten about. Thankfully, Rocket Money can find a bunch of subscriptions you've forgotten all about and then help you cancel the ones you don't want anymore. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery, rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
It's an indelible image from an unforgettable time. John Dickerson takes us on a journey to the past.
May God's grace be with you in all the days ahead.
And so, Richard Milhouse Nixon has resigned as the 37th President of the United States.
It was Nixon's decision to leave office, but he had little choice. There was near total agreement in both parties that he had committed some or all of what he was accused of: abuse of power, obstruction of justice, and contempt of Congress. 50 years later, would the same thing happen in today's political climate?
I really find it hard to believe that Nixon would have resigned in an environment like the one we have today.
As a lecturer about conservative politics at the University of Pennsylvania, Brian Rosenwald has thought about the what-ifs of the Watergate scandal.
He would have dug in. He would have had enough support to avoid conviction.
Up until the very end, Richard Nixon was dug in.
That's just plain poppycock.
The day before he relented, the front page of the Washington Post read, "Nixon says he won't resign." But unlike what we might expect today, Nixon's party had abandoned him.
Whatever decision he makes, it will be in the best interest of our country.
Senator Barry Goldwater had been the last Republican presidential nominee before Nixon. And on August 7th, 1974, he and Republican leaders in Congress visited the White House.
There has been no decision made. We were merely there to offer what we see as a condition on both floors.
The condition was dire.
Impeachment is really a foregone conclusion.
The majority of Republicans were likely to vote to impeach Nixon in the House, and there weren't enough Republican senators to block his conviction in the Senate. A day after the meeting, Nixon's decision led to the iconic Washington Post headline.
I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow.
In the 50 years since that announcement, that White House visit by leaders of the president's own party telling him his time was over may tell us less about what was happening then than it tells us about what is happening in our politics now.
In our modern era, where we're so cynical about our politics, it's almost impossible to capture how different the political landscape was 72, 73, 74.
Garrett Graff is the author of Watergate, A New History.
Even Democrats trust Nixon because they say, the president would never lie to the American people. We can't impeach the president. He's the president. If he is saying he's not involved in Watergate, he's telling us the truth.
I had no prior knowledge of the Watergate break-in.
No prior knowledge, perhaps, but Nixon had been involved in the cover-up after the burglary and wiretapping of the Democratic National Committee headquarters, abusing his power to obstruct the investigation and defying congressional subpoenas for evidence. Proof came from one of the bombshell moments in the Senate Select Committee on Presidential Campaign Activities, the Watergate hearings.
Mr. Butterfield, are you aware of the installation of any listening devices in the Oval Office of the President?
I was aware of listening devices. Yes, sir.
On one of the tapes, direct evidence against the president.
What comes out is this smoking pistol tape. In it is a recording from the first day that Richard Nixon is back in the White House after the Watergate break-in. And it effectively shows that Nixon was part of the cover-up from the earliest hours.
The process worked. The constitutional process worked.
Watergate is a story of incredible corruption and criminality. But to me, it's actually an incredibly inspirational story of how our system works and the incredible ballet of checks and balances written into our Constitution. Every institution in Washington had to come together to play a special and important and unique role.
What was the basic shared norm that they believed in?
Everyone agreed at that moment Richard Nixon was not above the law.
That agreement could be reached because politicians weren't attached to their parties the way they are today.
What did the president know, and when did he know it?
Howard Baker of Tennessee, the top Republican on the Watergate committee, probed for the truth. He didn't erect obstacles to protect his party's president.
Our electoral politics have changed in the last half century. We've become much more geographically polarized, which means red states and blue states. And the way that that manifests today is the most important election for most people are primaries, because that's the place they can lose. And who shows up for primaries? It is the people consuming ideological media. They're engaged, and they're usually far right or far left.
This was the biggest day of the Watergate hearings yet.
Lawmakers answered to an electorate where voters consumed the same information.
I began by telling the president that there was a cancer growing on the presidency.
85% of households watched some portion of the Watergate hearings.
And didn't you bug his telephone conversation with you?
No, sir.
Didn't you record it then?
Yes, sir.
Did you tell him in advance?
Nixon didn't think that he was committing crimes. He thought he was the law and order president.
Nixon may have believed it, but there was no pro-Nixon media apparatus to feed that alternative reality to the public during the 784 days between break-in and resignation.
One can only be angry with those he respects.
I don't think we could see a moment like that happen because of the media environment, the poisoned information ecosystem that politics now exists in is all but inescapable. If Richard Nixon had Fox News in 1974, he would have survived.
Rosenwald imagines how the political and media developments of our world today would have played out 50 years ago.
Given what you know about the conservative world, is it possible to imagine what the response of today's pro-president party would be to the smoking gun?
They would say, they're just getting rid of our guys. They're getting rid of our champions. They would have pointed at all kinds of malfeasance from Democrats and said, oh, look at those guys still serving. Nobody ran them out of office. And they would have pointed at the media and said, they did nothing about it. They are out to get you. They hate you, and then basically said, whose side are you on? Are you on the side of your enemy, or are you on the side of your guys? Nixon might not be perfect, but all of a sudden, he's our guy.
He's our guy may capture best the modern instances where lawmakers put party above all else. Though that instinct did not prevail when Democratic leaders convinced Joe Biden to abandon his campaign.
Pass the torch to a new generation.
It did rule with Donald Trump. When the moral stakes were at Watergate levels.
There's no question
done. That President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day.
After the January 6th attack on the Capitol, Republican leaders accused the president of their party of breaking his oath. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy spoke to his colleague Liz Cheney about an impeachment resolution.
The only discussion I would have with him is that I think this will pass, and it would be my recommendation we should do that.
In the end, there was no White House visit. McCarthy has now endorsed Trump, as McConnell has. 50 years after Watergate, the question is not whether a tough love visit by members of a president's party is possible. It is. What's changed is what motivates the lawmakers willing to take the walk.
They say opposites attract. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is the best bed for couples. You can each choose what's right for you, whenever you like. You like a bed that feels firm, but they want soft? Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler, while they like to feel warm. Sleep Number does that too. Sleep Number smart beds also learn how you sleep and provide you with personalized insights to help you sleep even better. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's for both of you, only at a Sleep Number store. 9 out of 10 couples say they sleep better on a Sleep Number smart bed. Time to catch some Z's. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Say goodbye to performance-robbing engine deposits with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Hate to break it to you, but lower-grade fuel can leave deposits in your engine that build up over time and leave your engine's performance severely lacking. Thankfully, Shell V-Power Nitro Plus removes up to 100% of performance-robbing deposits with continuous use in gasoline direct injection engine fuel injectors. Download the Shell app today to find your nearest Shell station and rejuvenate your engine with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Fuel up at Shell.
The Duke and Duchess of Sussex inaugurate a new online site today that most of us will never have occasion to visit. A good thing, it turns out. Jane Pauley talks with Meghan and Harry about their undertaking and the reasons behind it.
On a brilliant summer day near Santa Barbara last week, a group of friends got together. This was not your typical receiving line. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex, better known as Harry and Meghan, are definitely big huggers. It was a meeting of an exclusive club.
Oh, it's good to meet you.
And one that none of them wanted to join. Most of the parents here have lost a child, directly or indirectly, as a result of exposure to online social media. Harry and Meghan are trying to give them and parents like them some place to turn for help. It's called the Parents Network, in association with the couple's charitable Archwell Foundation, and officially launches today.
I'm so happy you're here. Thank you.
Meghan herself knows a thing or two about online bullying.
And how do you do?
And of course, her husband Harry is no stranger to that either, or to unspeakable grief.
The central topic is the loss that these families have suffered. Stories that need to be shared because the parents who are listening who have not suffered a loss think that they couldn't. But they could.
They certainly could. And that's, I think, one of the scariest things that we've learned over the course of the last 15, 17 years that social media's been around, and more so recently, is the fact that it could happen to absolutely anybody. I mean, we always talk about, in the olden days, if your kids were under your roof, you knew what they were up to. At least they were safe, right? And now they can be in the next door room on a tablet or on a phone and can be going down these rabbit holes. And before you know it, within 24 hours, they could be taking their life.
Our kids are young. They're 3 and 5. They're amazing.
But all you want to do as parents is protect them. And so as we can see what's happening in the online space, we know that there's a lot of work to be done there, and we're just happy to be able to be a part of
change for good. Well, you hope that when your children ask for help, someone, you know, is there to give it.
If you know how to help.
Thank you.
At this point, we've got to the stage where almost every parent needs to be a first responder. And even the best first responders in the world wouldn't be able to tell the signs of possible suicide. Like, that is the terrifying piece of this.
You can't tell this story, everybody. People don't understand.
It's something Donna and Chris Dolly know all too well. Their 17-year-old son, CJ, died from suicide after what they believe was depression fueled by social media use.
But your son had a demon in his bedroom.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yes. We had no idea what happened to our son. You know, he had a beautiful car. He worked and did that. He had a job he liked.
Sisters that loved him. Parents that adored him.
Yes. And he was happy. He was a happy kid.
And like so many parents in their place, the Dollies say a factor in their son's depression and death was his smartphone, a device designed to be so addictive that he couldn't put it down, not even in the minutes before he died.
He still had it in his hand, the phone. That's how addicted he was. He couldn't even kill himself without posting about it first.
And like the Dollies, it's often impossible for parents or anyone else to see that someone was so deep in despair that they'd consider taking their own life. Meghan Markle has been there, as she told Oprah Winfrey in 2021.
Look, I was really ashamed to say it at the time, and ashamed to have to admit it to Harry, especially, because I know how much loss he suffered.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that if I didn't say it, that I would do it. And I just didn't want to be alive anymore.
You had an experience that connects you to these families. And I see you touch your husband's hand in just the way I knew that you would be looking after each other if I went places. But the connection that you have with people is they know you had suffered too, personally. Contemplating killing yourself is what suicidal ideation was. And I'm dancing around this because I can see you're uncomfortable with my even going there. Do you?
I understand why you are, though. I wasn't expecting it, but I understand why you are. Because there is a through line, I think. And when you've been through any level of pain or trauma, I believe part of our healing journey, certainly part of mine, is being able to be really open about it. And I haven't really scraped the surface on my experience, but I do think that I would never want someone else to feel that way. And I would never want someone else to be making those sort of plans, and I would never want someone else to not be believed. So if me voicing what I have overcome will save someone, or ask or encourage someone in their life to really genuinely check in on them and not assume that the appearance is good so everything's okay, then that's worth it. I'll take a hit for that.
This in-person gathering was just for the launch. The Parents Network will meet mostly online. But group facilitator Leora Wolf-Prusan says the important thing is what the group will talk about.
We're going to stop expecting you to be done with your grief in a year. We're going to stop telling you that we're tired of hearing the stories of internet harm. Like, we will say your kid's name over and over again because they existed and they mattered. And that we know that it wasn't your fault. That's it, right? It wasn't your fault. This happened to you, and now we as a community get to create something with you.
Knowing that we're helping others, and even if that saves one kid and one family's heartache, that's enough.
And these are some of the group's charter members, Taj and Celine Swanson Jensen, whose son Tanner died from an overdose of drugs, pushed online.
England was the youngest of...
She was the youngest, 14 years old.
Brandy and Tony Roberts, who lost their daughter England to suicide after online bullying. And Perla Mendoza, whose son Eli died when a painkiller he bought online was actually a lethal dose of fentanyl.
thank you for being here, but I have to, you know, ask, why would you do this? Why would you do this?
A simple answer, so others don't have to live what we've lived and will continue to live.
I don't expect anything from anyone. This is just a labor of love in honor of my son and all the other children that have lost their lives to fentanyl. This is for the mother who cannot get out of bed, for the dad that won't leave his house. I stand here for them too. I hope that one day when it's my turn to go home, I'll see my son and he'll tell me, good job, Mama.
The idea here is that there is comfort and power in numbers, with the goal, as Harry himself once said, of turning pain into purpose.
And the two of you, this is, it's a modest beginning. You know, it's not an army of parents yet.
No.
But what are your ambitions?
I think you have to start somewhere. I think the simplest thing that anyone watching this, or anyone who's able to make change, to look at it through the lens of, what if it was my daughter? What if it was my son? My son or my daughter who comes home, who are joyful, who I love, and one day, right under my roof, our entire lives change because of something that was completely out of our control. And if you look at it through the lens as a parent, there is no way to see that any other way than to try to find a solution.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, podcast listeners. Great news. All your favorite comedy podcasts can be enjoyed ad-free on Amazon Music. Listen to your favorite music, plus top podcasts, completely ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/adfreecomedy. That's amazon.com/adfreecomedy to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He's a crossover artist in more ways than one. Jelly Roll's roots are in rap, but it turns out his calling was country. Give a listen, and it's easy to see why Khalifa Sané's profile is one of our Sunday best.
He's a former rapper who calls himself Jelly Roll. He sings songs about the troubled life he used to lead.
Jelly Roll!
Last year, he won a Country Music Association Award for Best New Artist just before turning 39.
I want to tell you success is on the other side of it. I want to tell you it's going to be okay.
I'm only one drink away from the devil.
He recently scored his fourth number one country hit, and this year he was nominated for 2 Grammy Awards.
Someone was asking me, what is the precedent for this Jelly Roll story? And I said, it's not really like anything.
Yeah, thank you, man. We're definitely on our own island.
This is jail. It sucks. Everyone I've ever been to.
If you're wondering where Jelly Roll came from.
So this is your old room right here.
This is it. Oh.
One difference is that the door's open right now.
Yeah. It still smells the same, though.
One answer is here, the County Detention Center in Nashville.
There was a time in my life where I truly thought this was it.
That this was your future.
Yeah. And then coming here, you know, just after getting nominated for 2 Grammys, it just hits different. You know, it's just,
I didn't think I'd get emotional, to be honest, but every time, dude, just this cell, you just think, man, this is, even when I left here, I didn't have a plan.
Jelly Roll was in and out of facilities for 10 years, starting at age 14. Drug possession, drug dealing, shoplifting, aggravated robbery.
I knew that I loved music, and I knew it was the only thing I had any skill set in. I thought, I can't believe I'm crying.
His real name is Jason DeFord, but when he was a boy, his mother gave him a nickname that stuck.
Your family called you Jelly Roll, your friends called you Jelly Roll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, to this day, my mother calls me Jelly. If somebody walked in here right now and said Jason, I wouldn't look up.
Growing up, Jelly Roll never pictured himself having a normal career.
I knew my father booked bets. I knew my mother struggled with drugs. So to me, this was just what you did.
When he wasn't getting in trouble, Jelly wrote songs, like this one, about driving around and getting high.
Cocking a big body down south, Optimals burning slow, staying smoked out. In the Chevy and I'm heavy and I ride clean. I'm wiping sticky off my dickies from the light green, the light green.
He started making informal hip-hop CDs known as mixtapes.
You're selling drugs to people and selling mixtapes?
No, I'm just giving the mixtapes away. I'm just like, yo, here's a sack of weed, here's a gram of coke, here's a mixtape. You know what I'm saying? I rap too. It was like my business card. Even my drug dealing, to me, was always a means to music. I wrote hundreds of songs right here. I wrote Riding All Alone's chorus right here. You know, I wake up every day, I hit my knees and pray. My mind is filled with pain, so many things have changed. I'm looking at my life like it's an hourglass. Just spend every minute trying to kiss the past.
He was 24 when he left prison for the last time. By then, a prison guard had given him some news that changed the way he thought about his life.
He said, DeFord, you had a kid today. I said, what? He said, yeah, you had a child. And I was like, what's her name? And he said, hell, I don't know.
It turned out her name is Bailey. Like so many in Jelly's life, her mother suffered from addiction. Jelly is now raising her with his wife of 7 years, Bunny XO, a podcaster who calls herself the Trailer Park Barbara Walters. In 2010, Jelly Roll had his first minor hit, a hip-hop track called Pop Another Pill.
I have a line in that song to show you where I was at in my mental space, how insecure and how much I didn't believe in myself. I ain't got no single, no potential for the radio. I ain't got no single, no
potential for the radio. As a rapper, Jelly Roll sounded a bit like the Southern hip-hop stars he admired.
Somebody save me.
But when he started singing,
me from myself,
the twang in his voice made country fans pay attention. In 2020, he released an acoustic version of a ballad called Save Me, which became his breakthrough.
I'm so damaged beyond repair. Life has shattered my hopes and my dreams.
On YouTube, the video has been viewed more than 200 million times.
Tonight is the most special,
yes, sir,
night of my life.
And the next year, he performed at Nashville's Grand Ole Opry.
I knew the moment I did it, I made at least a small piece of history in this town.
Yeah.
Unreal, man. This place is holy ground.
Songs like Son of a Sinner and Need a Favor make fans feel as if they really know him and believe in him. Like Dale Henry and her daughter, Kelsey Roberts.
It just really touches your soul. Mm. I mean, when you hear him say, save me from myself.
Yes.
It just makes me think, it's such pain there.
Right.
And he just exuberates it through his music. I just love him. I just love him.
It started with a little pill.
His latest album, Whitsitt Chapel, is anchored by a song called She, about a woman fighting drug addiction.
She was the life of a party.
But what an amazing full circle moment. You have She, this song about the fentanyl epidemic, from an artist whose first single was called Pop Another Pill.
It shows what God can do, which you can't. It shows how much change can happen in your life.
The windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror for a reason, because what's in front of us is so much more important than what's behind us.
These days, when Jelly goes behind bars, he's only visiting, and he's bringing a message.
For you, it might be welding. For you, it might be barbering. Whatever it is, find that thing. And it might just be starting with simply being a good father.
I'm trying to just encourage, inspire, and entertain. I'm just trying to get you free for a minute. When I go to juveniles, I'm trying to get you to understand that you're loved.
Put my finger up. I'm all
He may talk like a preacher, but he says he doesn't exactly live like one.
One of the things that people really relate to you for is not just that you have this sense of wanting to inspire people, but also this idea that you're still someone who's still trying to figure it out.
I think that it's cool to see vulnerability that way and that we can all grow together and that it's okay to not have it figured out at 35. Mm. It's okay to not have it figured out at 25. It's okay to not have it figured out at 15. Just know that you can figure it out and believing that.
How do you feel about your success? Do you feel like you've earned it? Do you feel like you deserve it?
I'm starting to. I didn't at first. Mm. And I'm still dealing with imposter stuff. I'm still dealing with talking to my therapist about that. Do I really deserve this? I'm still a guy that's haunted by my past. There's a very dark hallway between my ears. If I only talk to God
when I need a favor. But sometimes Jelly Roll takes a minute to think about his unlikely journey, like when those Grammy nominations came out and he phoned his mother.
I've called her addicted, I've called her homeless, I've called her from rehab facilities, I've called her from halfway houses, broken down on the side of the street. Never got to call her and say I've been nominated for two Grammys. Hmm. One of the coolest moments of my whole life.
I'm Tracy Smith. Please join Jane Pauley when our trumpet sounds again next Sunday morning.
Paramount Podcasts.
If you like this podcast, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a quick survey at wondery.com/survey.
I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN's chief medical correspondent. This week on Chasing Life...
If you don't have the basics, like food and shelter, obviously that's a problem.
That's Lori Santos. She's a cognitive scientist and she's a professor at Yale University, where she teaches college students all about the science behind what it really means to be happy.
All too often, our accomplishments wind up being at an opportunity cost of the stuff that really makes us happy.
Listen to Chasing Life, wherever you get your podcasts.
Always on the go? Now you can take CBS Mornings with you. Wake up to your daily dose of news and interviews with today's leading figures in politics, business, and entertainment in the CBS Mornings On the Go podcast. Available every weekday wherever you get your podcasts.